Speak Out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Norm was out on the casting call, who did Cheers turn to?
Yo, police!
When Mike Tyson became the youngest heavyweight champion in history and no sparring partners could be found, who did the champ turn to?
Yo, police!
Now, this world-renowned barfly slash pugilist has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul LaVoie!
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
Captain Radio here, inviting you to another episode of the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show.
Yes, Captain Radio, thank you very much. Welcome to the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. I'm Speak Out host Paul LaVoie, and with us in the studio, I'm going to let Dan do the introduction. But Dan DeLosantos, the host of the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, brought to you exclusively by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. Dan.
Hey, hi, folks.
What's happening?
Well, let's see, which show is it? Number 72, isn't it?
Yes.
Numbers.
Refrigerator.
Yes.
That was the fridge's number.
It's like, holy cow, man, here we are again. And we've got another really great guest speaker to share with you today. We have Mark Martz, and he is our 40-year veteran firefighter, retired, and he's got a great story to tell about not only how he got to Lake Havasu City, the career, and all the wonderful people that he's met and worked with along the way. But also at the end of our show today, he's going to talk a little bit about a rather devastating situation that occurred during the end of his career, and he was able to come back and finish it up. So I got to tell you, it's going to be a great show today. Mark, yeah, thank you for being here. You know, we really appreciate it, and I've, you know, we're friends. I've known you for a very long time, and I'm honored to have you on the show today.
Well, thank you, Dan. I'm actually honored to be here, and ecstatic that you asked me to show up and help out or answer questions and be part of this.
Well, I appreciate that, Mark. And, you know, I think for a lot of folks that know that you've been a fireman for many years, and many of us have actually had the opportunity to have you come and save us. Actually, you were in my house saving my mom one time, and she was under distress. As a matter of fact, it was just previous to when she passed away. So I'm personally thankful for your services. And so, you know, I guess the easiest way to start this off is to go, you know, where does Mark Martz come from? When did you get here, and where are you from?
I was born and raised in New Jersey to a single alcoholic mom. We had a colorful childhood, or I did. She had six kids in 7 years, and I'm the baby. And then January 1980, it was time for me to... I was only 17, and I moved her out here in October 79, and then visited here a little bit, then went back to work in New Jersey, because I skipped going to senior year. But when I came here, I was doing too many bad things there, so it was time that I came here. When I did, it turned me around 100%. I went back to high school and finished that, and then proceeded to, actually that year in November, Dennis Mueller, who was a chief eventually, he was just a firefighter then, kind of introduced me to Desert Hills and then also Lake Havasu Fire Department.
So, you know, it sounds like, and I got to tell you, that sounds so similar to so many of us that we've had a challenging upbringing, and coming to Havasu was the right decision. It sounds like Havasu was a solution in your youth.
It was the best decision I ever made related to improving myself from where I grew up and coming here and starting over.
That's fantastic. And you know, that's a, I'm really happy that, you know, the outcome was so positive for you and so many others. And quite frankly, hundreds of folks that we've grown up with, you and I, here in Lake Havasu City. So, you know, moving from Jersey, it must have been quite a transition. I mean, what was, you know, I don't even know what the environment and the weather and things are in New Jersey other than cold.
There's four seasons, yes. Full four seasons were snow and, you know, then hot, humid summers and everything in between.
And then you shove it all together into the hot zone and come to Havasu.
Yeah, wow, what a wake up.
So what month did you move here?
It was January 9th of 1980 I arrived.
So you got here before it hit the fan. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I slowly worked into the first
Okay, season, that was but, good. You got to acclimate a little bit then.
Yeah.
That's good news. So going to school, you know, you met a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, it was a small town and
right.
You know, very small. I think there was 12 or 13,000 people around the time maybe.
Yeah.
One traffic light.
Ah, so we got our traffic light in by then, yes.
The first one that
was a big
opened.
Deal,
yeah.
You know. So you've got some friends out there, needless to say, that are listening to you on the show today. And I got to reach out and say hi to Bob Hannigan because he absolutely listens to all our show. He said say hi to you.
Yep, Bob's a great guy.
We got Glenn Harris, who should be listening in from Florida today, another good friend of ours. Yeah, if you are listening to the show today and you have any comments or questions for Mark, you can call in to 928-854-5687. Again, that's 928-854-5687. And, yes, Paul.
I wanted to ask Mark, you mentioned the alcoholic mother.
Yes.
And a similar situation for myself, but functioning alcoholic. So, but you brought her here, you said, later?
No. She moved here.
Oh, she moved
to
here.
To be with her boyfriend
because
they
see.
Would travel around the West Coast every summer, and that year when he came back or they came back, he said, I'm out of here, and he quit his 35-year job and moved, and she was miserable without him.
It doesn't seem like her habits anyway affected you in any way in your determination.
Well, you know, I had some bumps in the road along the way, but certainly overall it...
I got you.
It helped me see what I didn't want to do.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, you know, when you're growing up here in Havasu, I think it's interesting to find a career, first of all. It's a small community. We grew up in a construction community. So finding different careers at the time was marginal. But you found a unique career, I think, and certainly several people that we all know were in that same path. And so what got you to the fire department?
Well, I grew up with a family down the street that were volunteers, and then when I was working construction the last 6 months I lived in New Jersey, that family of the construction company were volunteer firefighters, and then when I moved here, I was involved in VICA, Vocational Industrial Clubs of America, went to an event with Dennis Mueller was on the bus, and he was a firefighter then who slowly worked his way through the ranks to become chief, but he suggested I should show up to a meeting sometime. That was in April of 80, and then November I did show up to a meeting and had no idea of even thinking forward that it would end up being a career at all. I just was, you know, wanting to try it out.
I find that fascinating because the origins of where we start from, especially prior to an actual career decision, it sounds like the path was available to you to kind of get on a straight and narrow. So, you know, maybe that's even something you can recommend to other youths that are trying to decide what they're doing and haven't made that decision yet, but there are recourses, there are opportunities, like you've mentioned, for kids, I'm assuming.
Yes, there is. The high school actually has a program. It's called the CTE program, I believe it is, and they are involved in the educator Gina actually goes to the high school with other firefighters at times, and they teach classes there, and they give them some hands-on stuff. And there's been a few of them that come out of there very successfully and become firefighter paramedics now. So
I really admire that. You know, we have the kids on the Colorado River program that kind of starts an educational program about both the river and the desert. So it sounds like that program gives them kind of a fresh look at what possibilities might be in a career-oriented environment.
Yeah, and if you have any insight in yourself that you want to help people, there's no better way than being in the fire service, and you help anybody and everybody at any time.
So, you know, you and I touched a little bit on the early times, and I think you mentioned a particular instance where you were out on a call, one of your first major calls, as you mentioned. What was that like? I guess it was downriver or down 95.
No, it was up north, actually,
up north?
On I-40,
okay.
Like within a half a mile of the bridge going west, and it was in approximately May of 83.
Uh-huh.
I had been an EMT for 1 year.
Wow.
And I drove this Dodge Ram Charger from Desert Hills Fire Department out there by myself to a call that was, it said 962, 963, which is accident with injuries and accident with death. And when I arrived, it was pretty disastrous. Three people were ejected from a rapidly moving car guy was driving, and they were all ejected in different places along the way, far distances from each other.
Wow.
And, yeah. One of them lived.
So, you know, folks, unfortunately, Marcus left out some of the more grim graphic details, but, you know, being a firefighter, a policeman, or some of the other agencies doesn't always come with pleasantries. Sometimes there's horrific elements that are part of the job and that you have to work through and be the guy, be
right.
The person that's going to be able to support and work through that situation.
Yes, many times, you know, out in Desert Hills, volunteer, we would go out into Havasu Heights or anywhere on 95 from the town limits to 40 and then 10 miles on I-40, and you'd find yourself in situations without any help, maybe one or two other people, and that would be it. And
I used to be a television reporter slash camera videographer, and that, and there's those scenes you come up on, and you're always there on their worst day.
Right.
Right. That's the saying that firemen have, too. Is there the situation that stands out in your mind, like I have in my mind, of, you know, the one that says, wait, do I really want to do this any longer, or do I need to get out of this, because I was having bad dreams for a while, you know?
You mean the job?
It was an accident scene and rolled up, and a baby had been decapitated.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, something like that. Is there something you just that was really hard to recover from that you remember
in
your career?
You know, not. I wouldn't say that it was hard to recover from, but it definitely took time to get it to go away, because you can't unsee the things you see.
That's right.
And then, you know, but I never really said, this is it, I'm done, after any of the calls. It was, you know, you dealt with it and moved on, and because you never know when you're going to have to go to the next one, maybe right away even. So.
And I know we're going to talk about it later, but your accident, the irony is that it wasn't on the job all of the times that you could have been hurt and you weren't.
Right.
So, you know, and I guess we'll be coming up to a commercial break here soon, but, you know, while we have time, I guess there's also the bright side. And, you know, rolling up on a situation that you're able to manage to correct some things, and whether it be saving a life, certainly I know that you've had to play a role in that multiple times, but, you know, where the outcome obviously brightens up the day because you successfully did your job.
Absolutely. And, you know, I can't take credit for saving any one person individually. It's always been a team effort of the crew that
right.
you're with. But, yes, there's many times where, you know, you see somebody that's clinically dead, but then they come back to life in front of your eyes.
Hmm.
Which is amazing. And, like I said, it's a team effort. And then there is a lot of joy, and it's happened a lot over the years. Very few early on, but as time progressed and technologies and different practices came into play, that definitely improved the quality of service that was provided to the people.
That's fantastic. You know, in the early years, I'm assuming, and I know that when I say early years, I mean 60s and 70s, our equipment was, well, wasn't necessarily up to speed with some of the other communities, you know, 100 miles away.
Right.
What was it like for you? I mean, were we behind the times in equipment or?
You know, the early days of the hospital here was, in a lot of people's opinion, was a very, very good hospital with very good outcomes. And the people were treated great, and that changes over the time. But the equipment, I mean, I started, we didn't even use rubber gloves. I mean, we're barehanded dealing with whatever.
Sure, so. Sure. That must have been interesting.
Yeah.
I think there were a few less things to be concerned about back then, but they were just coming aboard, you know, throughout the country. And
yep.
Rubber gloves were a mandate, needless to say. So, you know, being here in Lake Havasu, I think one of the first things that comes to mind is holiday tragedies. And whether it be the lake or the highway, you know, we see the big volumes in and around those holiday weekends. And I think when we talk about the highway, and I couldn't help but think about it the whole time you were talking about your situation out north, but I think about people passing each other on our road in and out of town. And those accidents that occur because of over-anxious drivers who have had a long weekend of drinking or are in a hurry to get here.
Yeah.
Was that a pretty common occurrence?
I wouldn't say common, but it definitely happened and seems to happen a little more often now because of everybody's attention span is limited sometimes because of the devices that they have and so forth, which is not a good thing.
Right, right. Yep. So, and Mark, I wanna thank you for being here. We're gonna take a quick commercial break, and we're here with Mark Martz, firefighter, 40 years, folks, 40 years in our community, and we're gonna talk a little bit about what that means here coming up next.
Look like a Deep Purple kind of guy, maybe. Right?
Oh, yeah, I've heard some of them. But, in my day.
That's what I'm saying. Most of the pioneers, that's what the kind of music that we play here that they can relate to for sure. A little Smoke on the Water for retired firefighter Mark Martz, and Dan DeLosantos is here as well, the host of the Havasu Pioneers radio show, brought to you exclusively by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. And we still have the phone lines open?
Yeah, phone lines are open.
Nobody calling in, no guests or anything?
Not yet.
Perfect. 928-854-KNTR, 928-854-5687, or you can text us at 928-727-5566. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Ohio Players Fire, and I don't know if you ever went skating back in the day, Dan.
Yeah, I did.
This was a big song for that.
Yes,
right.
It was
right. You all right, Dan?
Yeah. You know, I
you're reeling in.
I was actually
right
I was a big fan of wood roller skating rinks, and
yeah.
Concrete was not my friend.
I raced roller skates.
Oh, really?
On polyurethane.
Yeah. But we raced on wood wheels. Yeah.
Yes.
I got 9 trophies for it.
Yeah, man. Wood is the way to go.
I don't know if everyone saw it, but Facebook posted, this room has a new name. Did you know that?
No.
The City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with a toy sink, courtesy of Wayne Malone from Neat Pool and Supply. And if you go on Facebook, I explain the whole thing. Find City Maytag at 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. Also by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. By Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. Just meets all the cuts all the time. Salmon's Air Conditioning, serving the tri-state for over 53 years. And Springberg Wealth Management, also Blonzi Steakhouse. And our newest sponsor, A&B Propane, abpropaneaz.com. And don't forget about our exclusive Havasu Pioneers radio show sponsor, Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. All right, Dan.
Well, we're back with Mark Martz, and that's M-A-R-T-Z. Want to make sure that we get that right on the post. Otto's check spell screwed it up, so my apologies, Mark.
And no worries.
So, 40-year vet, you know, we're in this segment, we're going to talk a little bit about Mark's terms of that length of time and some of the people that we know. I mean, we got Pat McCormick out there. We got Ryan. You know, it just, I was thinking, there's so many people. Todd, you said the list is endless of people that we not only, some of us went to school with, but you worked with.
Yep, I worked with a lot of those guys, and they paved the way for teaching us, and I learned a lot from them over the years and respected them, and I'm still friends with them to this day. And we saw a lot of things together that, you know, are not good, but some that were very good outcomes, and they definitely paved the way for the way it is now.
You know, I think about the youth of some of these individuals when, and then the fun times, and then I think about them in this role as they've become adults and men that and women that have really taken on this role, made it part of their lives, and been part of our community, yourself obviously included. And it's a life-changing experience, isn't it?
Yes, it is very much a life-changing experience. You need to embrace it and, you know, pay attention. And I have some one-liners I share with the younger guys is, God gave you 2 ears and one mouth, so you listen twice as much as you talk.
Oh, that's good. That's so good. I'm going to listen to the show again just so I can write that down.
I've heard it before, and it's been used against me before. Trust me. That's very good.
Yeah. Yeah. But if they pay attention, they can learn a lot, and we'll change them 100%. It's not for everybody, but you just,
it is different because you're, it's, boy, I don't know, you can't call it a club, it's
the family.
It's a notch somewhere in with the, I don't want to say military, but at the same time, you're following a leader, you're following the rules, there is a priority and protocol.
Yes.
And so they're, it's a unique form, of a workplace.
Yep, it is. You become like family, you know, you're with them for one third of your life, the same guys or the various amounts of them, but you see them over the years, many of them, and, you know, try to teach them a certain way, and then they're like still resistant to it, but then suddenly, so you don't work with that person suddenly for a few months, and then you join back up and work a shift together, and you see now they're doing something that you taught them that they didn't want to follow, which is very, you know, that's very rewarding and, you know, satisfying to see that kind of stuff happen. And I'm not perfect at everything I do, but I've developed over the years plenty of good practices, and
it certainly shows, Mark. You know, people, you know, they think of the fire department, it's not go, 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 there's downtime. And I guess what, you know, sometimes we ask the question, what do you do in the downtime? Are you guys, besides, of course, cleaning the equipment and refurbishing?
No, we sit around and play checkers and watch TV and play cards. That's not true at all. No, there's always something to do that needs to be done and should be done, and you make it happen. You know, there's equipment that needs attention. You know, those big rigs vibrate and screws come loose. I mean, you go around and tighten and find things that need to be fixed, and then you take care of the station like you would your own house. Things that need to be done, you do them. You know, that's hopefully still going on. And
oh, we hope it's still going on.
Yes, sir.
You know, Dan, you make a really good point, though. These guys are, a lot of retired firefighters are still in game shape, if you will.
Yes. And true story, Mark here, as he sits here, is over 6 feet, and he's strong as an ox. And we're going to talk a little bit more about how that, as miraculous as it is, in our next segment. But, you know, I guess, Mark, one of the things that comes to mind is that firefighting in Lake Havasu and rescue is not just on the land. It's on the water, too.
Yep.
And so, as many of us might imagine, yes, they do respond to lake calls and have had a series of boat rescue equipment And so what's that look like? How would you describe that to us?
You know, it varies for sure, because it can happen not just on a holiday weekend, but it can happen during the night, day, at any time of the year, and a crew will respond to where the boat is at site or at the contact point there where it's docked, and there's a protocol and steps to follow to get that thing in the water and on the water in a certain amount of time, which then you go to where you're told and find, sometimes it's a little bit of a travel, but you find various events of multiple people, or, you know, and at night they're worse just because of trying to account for how many might be there and what actually happened, try to figure it out. But yes, we do that, and they got a new piece of equipment, a new fireboat recently from a grant, and from what I understand, it's a top-notch equipment, and then the guys are always training and get trained, and there's various schedules of training that they all go through, you know, each year to make sure everybody's proficient in what they need to do on that boat to help people out.
Well, I got to tell you, Mark, personal experience says that, you know, you go and you see this equipment, you don't just go, I'm like a little tiny kid. When they light that cannon off on that thing and it shoots, I forgot what the volume is, but it's absolutely in a crazy amount of water across the lake. There's 240 kids on the Colorado students that are jaw-dropped and going, wow, that's amazing, that's so cool. And all the teachers are going, yeah, it sure is.
Yeah.
All right. About a little burning love from Elvis?
Sure.
Elvis is in the building, baby. That's how it works.
Yeah,
right. Speak Out will continue in a moment. It's the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. Our guest, Mark Martz, retired Lake Havasu City firefighter. And far from retired, he's working more than ever now as Dan De Los Santos.
Man, it sure looks that way.
I had to throw that out there. All right, I'm Paul LeBoy. Speak Out will continue, 928-854-5687. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Favorite movie scenes. I think it was in La Bamba.
What was that?
Follow that, killer. You gotta love Jerry Lee Lewis. At least I do. So, all right, Speak Out and the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, brought to you in part by The Chair, also Mojave College, SamsGuns.com, Solar Power by Esme Electric, by Doritos Place, and Bobbo over at the Lewis Team, Remax by the Lake with Bobby and Julie Lewis. Don't forget, this Christmas season, shop local, because small business is kind of a big deal. And Local First Arizona the other day was saying that it's going to be a big year, Dan, for those small local shops, because people are trying to stay within their means and get handcrafted gifts and that sort of thing, and a little bit more inexpensive gifts, but they can shop local at the same time. So we hope that's what a lot of people are doing out there to feed small business here in Lake Havasu City.
Yeah, there is no Lake Havasu City unless you get behind the stores and help promote local business by purchasing, you know, everything from groceries to Christmas presents.
You're a big Pink Floyd fan, right?
I am.
I don't want to steal too much of your time because Dan has this all scripted out, folks, but today in 1976, Pink Floyd has a Spinal Tap moment when their 40-foot inflatable pig broke loose into the sky, causing commotion for pilots in the area. So it's kind of a famous incident. I know you probably knew about, right?
Yeah. You know,
it was today.
Well,
though.
And, you know, Robert P. McCulloch actually owned the plane that Pink Floyd flew around the country back in the day.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. It was one of the leased planes.
Good job, Marissa June. Thanks for submitting that.
Yep, and a quick shout out to Elizabeth, Micah Vidad, and Didi Frederico Beno. So they're on. I see them commenting and, you know, and so thinking about you girls and our community. And thanks so much for being part of our show and listening. And so we're with Mark March today. And so, Mark, as we jump into the third phase of our show today, you know, I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about some final comments that you had for us, and then I want to jump into what got you back into the department after a pretty difficult accident. So you were talking about, you know, where at times there's situations where they have to bring everyone together for a debriefing.
Yeah, on some critical calls, multi-units or multi-people or serious incidents, we get together and have a sit-down, talk around. Everybody can share their information and what you could do better, and you know, be reminded that the feelings that you're feeling are going to happen, and it's all normal, and you know how to get through these things. And we would do it on our own on, you know, single engine company calls sometimes that were pretty drastic. We would slowly, you know, make sure we got our equipment back in order, but then on the way back to the station, we would talk together in the cab and of, you know, things we could do better and improve on, and then slowly work our way into a little bit of laughter and joking to try to help relieve the stress of it, because you never know when you got to get ready to go and do it again.
And that's really a good safety valve, a mechanism to keep your spirit, you know, quite frankly, a mental breakdown from, because imagine, folks, you go out on one call and there's one right after the other, or it's repetitious over a course of weeks.
Yep.
It can beat you down, right, Mark? I mean, it wears
yes.
on you.
And laughter is the best medicine. And
it is.
You know, that happened as much as I could help with my crews, you know. And then even the younger guys, you know, we practical joke on them a little bit just to keep them on their toes and, you know, have a little fun at the same time after they've trained all day or anything like that.
Yeah, when I think of Pat and, you know, Tim Ryan and a lot of the folks who were able to walk away from the job and still maintain a pretty strong personality, I've always admired that, you included. So, you know, you'd gone through these 40 years, which, by the way, your title now is... considered how do we term that?
Well, my understanding is I'm the longest working city employee in the history of the city in any department, not just fire, but that is going to change pretty quick.
Well, I'm glad we got you on today. by the way, Mark gets to he gets the title today for the show.
There's a couple folks that are gonna do longer than I did. However, they might be behind a desk or two, and I was actually on an engine company running calls with boots on the ground the last night.
Wow.
I worked, so we went on a few calls through the night, which is fine with me. I'm willing to help anybody, and I still do at any given moment. So
at one point, Mark, you know, life is going on. You're reaching toward the end of the career, and all of a sudden, bam, what happens?
I was on my Harley Davidson, heading into town, and, someone turned left in front of me, and I got hit head on by a Chevy Tahoe.
Mm.
Flew as high as a stop sign, 28 feet, landed on a sidewalk, curb ripped my helmet off, and I bounced 6 more feet or so into the gravel, and I was conscious, and I was also 30 pounds heavier than I am now then.
That wasn't a very good radio description, Dan.
No, I got to tell you, it's an impact that Ouch. Most people can't hardly perceive, because when he mentions 30 additional pounds, that's like throwing an additional trailer behind a car and hitting and having an impact when you land.
I rode one down at 45 miles per hour, so I know exactly what you're saying, in a way.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
I saw less impact injuries kill people over the years, so I'm very thankful to have made it. I was treated very well by the guys I worked with.
Sure. What injuries did you sustain from that?
So I had 5 broken ribs, a collapsed lung, a shattered pelvis, fractured back, a couple broken toes. Both my thumbs were almost kind of ripped off, bent back to my wrists. And back in the day, people with a pelvis injury like mine would not survive because of the fluid area that would be taken up of the blood that your body couldn't, your heart couldn't pump it. So now they have the device, a pelvic binder that pulls it all together to make that space like it should be to help your blood pressure maintain. Mine was down low, but they did a good job. And then I ended up spending a full 29 days in the hospital, but I walked out of there. So
wow. Now, when you say walked out, I am just overwhelmed by that. I mean, I'm thinking wheelchair or in a bed.
Well, I actually wanted to, and I it was certainly a walker, and I had a big brace I had to wear around my chest. And but some local firefighters came up, and then Dennis Mueller, who lives up in Vegas, was there, and they brought a flag, and they stuck a flag in the back of my brace over my head as I walked out, and you know, there was a little welcoming group out there, and kind of slivered me into the car so I could come home.
Man, wow. And so what was recovery like? I mean, because we're talking, you're on the job now, you're not, you're in this accident mode, and now recovery. I mean, what's recovery look like?
Well, I was, for 6 months, I was pretty much just hanging out in the chair, you know, just staying at home and resting and, you know, a little bit of physical therapy, and slowly progressed to where I went back to a light duty job, just desk work and errands and stuff like that. And then I progressed to actually getting back on, you know, healthy enough to get back on the fire engine or the truck and drive again and run calls.
Now, folks, I got to tell you, that's a jaw dropper for me.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that goes through that, they're lucky to live, and retirement usually comes into play. And Mark, you went back on the job.
Yeah, I could have.
How old were you, I have to ask you, when that all happened?
Let's see, I was 59.
Wow. You know, there are no low steps on a fire truck. You know that.
Yes,
right?
I'm well aware.
Actually, I went back.
Was that the tough part with the pelvic injuries and that? The steps and the, you know, getting back up into the driver's seat?
Wasn't too bad. You know, I still have a lot of aches and pains, and I have big bolts still in my pelvis holding me together.
So you're fun to take to the airport.
Yeah,
concerts.
Yeah, they. It was actually almost to the day 1 year later where I got back on and started on duty again.
That's incredible.
So.
That is incredible.
Congratulations.
And I could have chose the easy way out and just, you know, retired out and been done, but I couldn't allow myself to do that.
Or substances, right? The painkillers that had to be a little tempting or tough to fight with.
I hated them. Mm-hmm. I cut them off as early as I could because it was painful just doing them. You know,
I'd
be up in the middle of the night for hours and nothing helped.
Sure.
You know.
I've had spinal surgery, and the first thing that I wanted to get rid of was the drugs.
Yeah.
And I'm happy I did. Yes, you're right. There's pain. With you, I'm thinking pain in so many different locations. I can't even fathom. So, you know, what's life look like today? And, you know, so it's 40 years of the career. You've been in Havasu since 1980, is that right?
Yeah, so this January will be 46 years.
Man,
1980?
Oh, man. Yes,
sir. Sophomore in high school.
Right?
Wow.
And so what's life look like for you today? You've got a wonderful woman, by the way. I've been fortunate enough and honored to meet her. And so life is different for you now. You're happy.
Yeah, very happy, having fun, and, you know, just don't let the small stuff bother you, and it's all small stuff.
Right.
You know, let it roll off and look to the future and see things as you'd like them to be, and you can actually make it happen that way. We met at a line dance class. I stumbled on it, and she was there on purpose.
And what's her name?
Angela.
Ah.
Yep. And I just kept going and each week, and then we became friends, and it progressed from there. It took, you know, 5 months or more, but slowly grew attached or compatible. You know, but we always had fun.
So you're a little more than smitten. That's what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
I got to tell you, and Mark didn't seem to slow down. We were in the middle of something, and Mark was moving furniture. Now, when you're thinking of furniture and chairs and a couple of tables, that's one thing. Mark happened to help us out with some furniture that we very much needed, and it was a kind of, I don't know if I'd call it a credenza, but the thing weighed few thousand pounds, and it had to be moved in sections, and Mark is moving this thing. in and out of this house, and then next thing you know, he's moving it over to my house, and I don't even know how you were. This thing is huge.
Leverage.
It weighed a
ratchet strap and a dolly on the other end, and you pick it up like a wheelbarrow and drive it around.
Oh, man. And so he just doesn't stop. And,
yeah.
And so, Mark, I can't thank you enough for being here today on our show. Do you got any last-minute advice for some of the folks out there that are considering a career in being a firefighter?
Well, first of all, I want to be thankful for you allowing me to participate here. It's an honor, and it's always been an honor and a privilege to serve the community in the capacity I did and then get paid for it even. It is a great job and career, and whatever you do in life, give it 100%.
Fantastic.
And if you're getting paid, be a professional, right?
Yes, sir.
Right.
All right. Let's go to the phones. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Yeah, this is Gary Myers, and I just wanted to say we really appreciate the first responders here in town. Have a section in the Havasu Memorial Walkway with your brick on it. So thank you for your service.
Thank you very much.
And Gary, thank you for calling in. Believe it or not, we actually touched on that, and I was trying to figure out where to fit that in. And I want to do a shout-out to the Havasu Memorial Walkway.org. Got to tell you, those guys are amazing. It is a great tribute to our community and other wartime efforts that have taken place over the last century. And they've done a phenomenal job of placing bricks, and many of our pioneers have actually got their names in bricks, so don't hesitate to go out on their website and consider picking up a brick. And, Mark, what are your bricks there for? What do they indicate?
They're all for the fire service, my 40 years with the city, and I actually have three of them there, and they were all surprised. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Again, Gary Meyer, thank you so much for calling in. So, folks, I got to tell you, it was an absolute honor to have Mark on the show today, and our next show will actually be on January 7th. We'll do it at noon, and it's my understanding that we're going to get to have Daniel Levis on, the chairman of the Shimowaybe Reservation.
Oh, nice.
And so I'm pretty excited about that. I'm going to shore it up. You'll see the posts indicating that, and Daniel's going to be able to share some interesting historical aspects of both the reservation, some things that most of you don't know, and you'll be able to ask him some questions.
Is he coming in?
He'll either come in or he'll call in, one or the other.
We have a clock from the Shimowaybe Reservation.
Well, it's from a good thing. So does it tell Shimowaybe time?
Yes, those are the Shimowaybe numbers.
Just checking. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, isn't that California time on that clock? You can see it in the reflection.
It's funny.
Oh, wait, that's like a bar clock. It's backwards.
It's actually Arizona time. That's
looking
funny, that too. Backwards. I like that. Do you have a backwards clock, Dan?
Not anymore.
I gotcha. All right, go out a little bit early, but go out none.
You know, I guess probably the one thing I want to say is that our next show will be number 73. We're going to be breaking in the new year with a fun few topics. And if you have anything interesting that you'd like to share, you think that we should be doing a show on, give me a call. You can reach me at 928-706-4469, or you can call into the station and make a suggestion to Paul Lavoie.
What do pioneers do for the new year and New Year's Eve?
We're actually going to do an Irish New Year's Eve, where we start at 2 and the ball drops at 5 p.m. Arizona time, midnight in Ireland.
And then you go to bed?
Actually, we're good. We don't have to drive anywhere. We stay away from trouble. Right. It's really a cool Havasu trip.
Well, I thought you were about to say you're doing Irish goodbye where everybody leaves before midnight.
That's funny. I'll be across the lake, so right there at the casino.
Oh, really?
Yep,
oh, fantastic.
Playing the Havasu Landing, absolutely. Anyway, that's a ways off, and we need to say goodbye to everybody.
We do.
All right.
Ladies, folks, thank you so much for joining our show today. We couldn't do it without you. We know we're reaching all over the country and out of the country, so make sure to share the show and the posts when you see them for our next following show.
Mark says goodbye.
Mark says goodbye.
You're doing a great job with that, by the way. I just wanted to compliment you.
Thank you.
That's a tough thing to keep going and, on and on and on and on when you manage a Facebook page like that.
My wife doesn't think so.
I know exactly.
We go on and on and on.
Right. All right. Back with more in a moment. I'll have a final shot, and I'm going to see if Brian is coming in tomorrow. So Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. Yeah, I actually got a question from my production assistant. What's with all the fire songs? I'm like, come on, man. I did, Mark. She texted me that. Anyway, I am expecting Brian Springberg tomorrow. Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. We'll see you then. Hannity's up next.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.